two of her patients, Mother Lane's patients. This is Mr. and Mrs. Burson. They were from Levelland, Texas. I remember them.
You remember them?
And
yeah, but that's on
yes,
the back of
sure.
The picture.
Okay. That's Eva Garcia. That's my aunt's cousin.
Mr. and Mrs.
Burson. I don't know how to spell that.
Levelland, Texas?
From Levelland, Texas.
It's wonderful that you have pictures of the patients, some of the people who came.
They came from all over the country, and it was all done by reference. They were referred by previous patients.
You had to have a letter of reference.
Right, because during that time, they were trying to get her out, you know.
Yes.
And she had to be very careful, somebody coming in to spy. Eventually,
there was a court case in Kingsville.
Right. Some doctors. I don't know what doctors they were. Maybe my brother might be able to enlighten us on that. There were some doctors that were wanted to get her out. And she did get out of Kingsville and came over to Bishop.
They just dropped the case. Apparently they had no evidence.
No.
It was just dropped or nobody showed up or something. I couldn't find any details. So then she moved over here.
She moved to Bishop. And started treating it. My father fixed her up a place in there where she could see her patients. And then after a period of time, after several years, she and my mother had a spat on account of one of those, the sister of this lady that he gave this picture to. Mm-hmm. They were sisters. One was with my mother and the other one was with my aunt. Mm-hmm. They were, in those days, they would gather people they took care of people who didn't have a place, okay, and they became part of the family. So we referred to them as part of our family, even though we weren't blood related. They were living with us, and they had our same last name anyway. And
Your name is easy, Garcia.
Garcia.
I was an Aros. Every Aros around is closely related.
You want to sit down?
When was this picture taken, Mother Lane?
I don't know.
How old does she look?
Well, father passed away in 39. She left about that time to Corpus. And so that must have been a picture of her in somewhere in the early 30s.
Who was she born? How old would that have been?
Grandma.
She was pretty close to the mother's age, wasn't she?
She was a little bit older.
That's right. She was older than mother.
See, what happened, my mother, the story that my mother told me about her was that when they were in Nieve, they lived in Nieve, Mexico. Mm-hmm. There was the smallpox epidemic came, and a lot of people died. They both got it. She got it, and her face got real, and her brother got it. And they made a pact. He says, if I pass away, he says, you communicate with me. If I do, I'll communicate with you. So it so happened that he was the one that passed away. And at the time, I think when she first started writing, because she had a notion to leave paper and pencil on the table or somewhere.
Yeah.
And so there was a note that says, don't be afraid, I'm trying to communicate with you. And he said, she started at that, I don't know what age, but at 12, she started going into trances by herself. I mean, it just falling into a trance. That's what my mother my mother used to tell me at 12 years old. And she was afraid. She was afraid because, you know, it's something where you don't know what to believe.
And shall we sit down somewhere?
Here's a chair. Well, she's got her.
Yeah, let
bring
me take
some
this.
Chairs over here. Maybe
well, here's one right here.
We can sit down and get more comfortable. Now, I was going to suggest over there, but the sun is hitting pretty bright over here.
Here's a good one for you. I'll stand up.
Lower the television because we're going to pick up the television on the tape recorder.
Okay, just turn it off. It's okay. My granddaughter's not watching.
But you got another chair there? Let him sit there so he can.
We want your voices.
Yeah,
we want your voices close. We're interested in your voices.
You're the people who know them.
So she went. She go into trances and then.
At the age of 12, she started going into. Transfer. That's what my mother said.
Oh,
and then they started trying to communicate, you know. And he said that they were told that not to be afraid, that his brother, that he wasn't going to harm her, that he was trying to, but that she had a gift that she would have to take care of people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there would be no charge. And people wanted to give her something, well, that's up to them, but you would not charge anything. So that's the way it all got started. But it became in Mexico when they had that epidemic of the smallpox, you know, and that they said they were hauling people by the wagon load, dead people, you know, and they had made that plan because of that. And ever since then they because of the war in Mexico, revolution in Mexico, they moved to this side. And I guess they came into Roma,
mm-hmm.
Texas,
mm-hmm.
And Roma was assigned from there. And then that's when she started, she was getting older then, but she was real afraid there for a long time. She was real scared.
Did she teach anybody else to be, or did any of her children, does anybody else in the family have
really.
The gift?
She said that there was going to be some people within the family that
mm-hmm.
would have that that same
gift.
And we do have
a niece
right now that McKay's in writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I have her writings in McAllen because I told her to make me copies. At first it started out as scribbling.
Yeah.
And they said that, but it keeps telling her to, you know, get more pop. Of course, I'm mixing this with motherland.
That's okay. That's okay. We're interested in it all.
But going back to motherland, my father was a true believer in her, and he set up a place for her. In fact, that house is still standing where she used to treat.
That's right, but
it was sold, so he sold
that
house.
That's right.
But that house is still there. The store was right next to it, and then the cabins were right next to it, well, across the road.
It was next to this store?
It was right in this picture. It was on this side.
Is that
and that house still
standing? What's the address on this? So that
we can drive you by there. It's on Avenue H.
Avenue H.
I don't remember the house number.
I don't either.
And I was living in there for a while.
Yeah, Bishop's small enough. You just walk around.
It's 2nd Street, Avenue H.
Uh-huh.
And now there's another house built where the store was. And so
the cabins are gone.
We tore them down. The only thing we've got right now left is the
sidewalk
where
the cabins were.
Did the Texas Rangers come after
her?
Oh
yeah, she had a bunch of people checking up on her, and as a matter of fact, she had at one time a group of 8 or 9 doctors
mm-hmm.
that came over to.
Do you know any names?
No, I don't. My mother was the one that knew all of it. I was just a kid. You see, I was anywhere from 8 to 12 years old at that time.
Well, we did some research in Austin, and we noticed, what was the name of the Texas Ranger that came down? He was just a Texas Ranger for a short time. It seems almost like he was hired just to follow her.
Yeah, to check up on her, and then there were some doctors that came over and
she went to a trance with them, and they put needles in her and what, you know, to find out where she, there's no feeling, you know. In other words, she was checked about three times, I think, with those doctors that came in. And she was willing to says, I'm trying to do this for the benefit of the people, not for me. Not. She had people come from New York, New Jersey, Italians, Jews, Catholics, what have you. I mean, they were all a mixture of people over here.
She was Catholic, wasn't she?
She was Catholic. But she didn't, apparently she didn't go very much to church. I never did.
No, not as far as I remember. I don't remember her staying in the church.
Did the priest get upset with her?
Yes.
The priest didn't come in till much later. You see, Catholic Church came in. Father Booth wasn't here way after she, I think she was gone.
Well, Father Booth was here for 40 years.
Yeah, but I think if you remember, it's 39.
39. That's right.
So I think the church was just barely got rolling here at the time. But there was no church here.
Because I can remember in my neighborhood, the priest often got upset with the Glendettas.
Yes, they normally do. However, this priest we've got here presently, I tell him about her. I have told him about her. And he's an Irish priest, and he believes in people being gifted in healing other people. He believes in that. So because he's seen it in Ireland with a man that used to cure fractures, bone fractures. And he done it by feeling and rubbing had the gift.
Just like somebody.
Right.
But now what we read was that she pulled things out, she rubbed.
Yes, she performed surgery without cutting. Okay. And I'll give you one example. I had bad tonsils. Mm-hmm. And we also had a doctor in the family that was a cousin of ours. He lived in McAllen. And when he told my mother that I needed surgery to remove my tonsils, she started bringing me to Mother Lane. Mm-hmm. And she started rubbing me and getting all that pus and infection out just by rubbing me right through here. She would get all the pus from the inside without surgery. And she let it go. She had a pan where she put all that stuff in there. And when the day came for my surgery, I went to the doctor, and after he performed surgery, he says, you know, how odd, you got some holes on your tonsils, you know. And mother just looked at me and she kind of pinched me not to say anything because she knew that he didn't believe in her, even though we were related. They respected each other. Uh-huh. But mother didn't want him to let him know that my aunt had already been treating me. And she had gotten the infection out.
Well, that happened to me too with appendicitis. Remember that I was being operated?
That's right.
And the doctor came in, he said he didn't even need to be operated on because he got appendicitis. And I said, my mother said, well, you see, she would take 2 weeks out of it.
Every new moon.
Is it every the new moon? Or new moon.
Every new moon, she would treat people for 2 weeks. And then the other 2 weeks, she retired. She
couldn't do anything, according to her. But I saw her perform a lot of times. I saw the seances a lot of times because I used to like all of that, and I used to go fix the get the benches ready because at times she had up to 100 people in the seance. Everybody praying at the same time, but it was real interesting. And then I believe what she was doing because I saw a lot of the things that a lot of people didn't see because, like I say, I was always trying to clean up and do the things so they would let me in. but I had to be real quiet. And I saw her perform quite a bit, and I saw the spirits that would come into her were Martita, which was an 8-year-old trapeze kid.
Martita.
Martita.
And, as a matter of fact, we had their pictures, but I don't know
not Amartita. I don't think
yes,
so.
Yes, we had Marta, Dr. Carpio.
Well, we had those, Amarita.
Amalia.
Dr. Carpio, Pedrito Jaramillo. Those were the spirits that would come to her, most of the time into her, unless somebody requested somebody else. But if, in other words, if that person was not within the realm or paradise with God, uh-huh. that person could not. It'd be a lot of suffering. In other words, if he was in purgatory after he passed away,
that spirit could not
communicate because he wasn't strong enough to. He didn't have the permission or strong enough to be able to communicate.
Who were those names again?
Martita. It was an 8-year-old trapeze artist that got killed on one of the shows. And then Amalita had been a nurse in Mexico someplace. I don't know. Had been a nurse doing some revolution or something. And then Dr. Carpio. Who was Dr. Carpio?
He was a medical doctor.
We had a picture of him.
Yes, we had a picture of him.
And Dr. Some of the doctor, skinny one.
Oh, yes.
I forgot his name, but the other one was the Perito Jaramillo that would come in. Most of his treatment was with water.
Yeah.
A glass of water and keeping water in on your bed when you went to bed, a certain color of glass or something, you know, and then you throw it in the morning and make a cross. But it was very interesting, and I really enjoyed all the seances that they used to have there because it was something different all the time. But and like I say, everything had to be with prayer. I saw her one time, a dead spirit tried to get into her one time, and she was knocked out in a coma for about 3 days. Hmm. I mean, just knocked out. She says, pray, please pray, you know, and she started, some other bad influence started trying to get in. Her body. We would all pray.
I think we would sit up like this.
You don't cross anything.
Sit up like this and start praying, Padre Nuestro. And all of a sudden she would start,
she would sit on the rocker.
There was this, my father had some of those rockers made out of Mexican twine, you know, mm-hmm. the real flimsy ones, but they were sturdy as far as standing, I remember that she would close her eyes and start rocking. And then when we started hearing, she would, we all kept praying until she finally, she'd jerk, you know, like, mm-hmm. And then she'd jerk again. And then somebody would start, and usually Amalita, the trapeze, because she was a comic. She was a kid.
Martita. Oh, I thought you said Amalita.
She was a kid, and you know, when she passed away, and then she came in just jolly as everything, yelling and yay, doing this and that, you know. And at one of the seances that I was in there, I can remember this so vividly because it impressed me so much. I was seated about 3 or 4 people away from her, where she was sitting right like this, and I was sitting facing the north in that room, that big room there. There must have been there at that time, maybe 35, 40 people in there. And she came in yelling like this, and then she started going up and down on that rocker. And then all of a sudden, and Mother Lane, I guess she was about 5'5 or 5'6. She weighed about 200 or 210 or something like that. She was pretty good size. She, all of a sudden, she gets up, jumps on this thing, and sits, stands up right in that rocker and just keeps rocking real fast. And then all of a sudden, she turns in the air,
comes back to the same spot and rocks. Then she jumps up to this thing here. And she just kept, well, hey, we were out there, you know.
Scared.
Yeah. And that rocker, you know, like I said, they were flimsy rockers. There's nothing that you could. Now, those things, like here, if you said you stand up here, that thing going. But she kept balance for some reason or other on that thing. And she just kept going up and down, up and down. And, you know, we were, please, come, Martita, come down. Don't worry, says, I won't fall. And she finally jumped down and settled down. And then, you know, that was it for her. And then some other Malita or some other spirit would she'd leave it. And then somebody else would come in. And if there's any questions, they try to ask. But no questions pertaining, you know, like, hey, can I make money? Or, you know, just something about health or how do you think this thing might happen if, you know, and that sort of like advice, you know, more than anything, yes, it was something like advice. It was nothing that, hey, I promise you this and that you're going to get this. And no, nothing like that. I never did hear anything like that. And that's the thing that impressed me the most. And then, of course, when I went for appendicitis, they were going to operate on me the next day. They told me they had to get me ready to go to.
What about the time when she brought water from?
Well, let me tell you about that. Okay. But then I went in. I got in line with the rest of the people. There must have been about 100 people just waiting, and people were sitting down on the benches, waiting to be called in. You know, and. They would call in two or three, so they'd be getting ready. You take everything off except you left your shorts on, and you covered yourself in a sheet. What was required? It was a handbag, a paper bag. You had Vicks, you had olive oil, you had alcohol, you had gauze, you had cotton, and those were the main items, and three sheets. One to put up, every person that would go in, it would put a new sheet on the bed, and then another to cover Havoc, and then one to cover around you when you took off your clothes. You'd be all in the sheet, and then you'd get in there, and then they would think it was three sheets there, or two or three anyway, and she would start out with alcohol, you know, and she'd get her hands with alcohol, and then sometimes, well, she would use olive oil quite a bit. She would use olive oil and put on, like me, she got on my side here, and she got the olive oil in there, and she took a toothpick and scissors, and she came over, and after rubbing everything together, she came in with a toothpick and just kept going, and she'd get under the sheet, you see, herself. And she always had just a light dress, real light dress, and short sleeves. Nothing there that you could say, heck, that thing's coming out of somewhere. Nothing. And her table was just a hardwood table like this, a little bit lower than that. And they had a pad, you know, that was with a rubber deal on top. It was tacked in. Nothing that you could say, hey, you got this something. And she kept scratching me like she was scratching me like this, you know, and of course I could feel pain. And then she'd start taking it like this, you know, cutting like this. And finally when she got all of that together, she came in and she made the sign to let the ladies that helping her take that sheet off. They would take the sheet off and she said, look, says, what you eat day for yesterday or yesterday's cantaloupe? There it is. And it was a piece of cantaloupe. Piece of cantaloupe cut up. Just like she'd cut it up in a little piece. And
how are you, Robert?
All right.
Up your clothes.
And a lot of liquid, you know, a bunch of liquid. And she'd dip that in there. And she said, there for a while, don't eat.
That's okay, you're fine. I'm good. $15.50.
1952.
Mm-hmm. Glad summer's here. No school.
I wrote it down. Yes, they replaced it.
And after the she took her stuff out and she told me, says, what did you have? A cantaloupe and stuff like that. And then when the doctor came in and checked me, because they used to make visits at the houses, mm-hmm. to take him, says, you feel? She told me, says, go to bed. And they were, I remember they were repairing the roof on that house. And they go to bed for about an hour. And then you can get up. You can do whatever you want. So I did. The doctor came back and checked me and said, probably just indigestion. So that was it. And but I didn't tell her what happened or anything. But then I saw some people with arthritis real bad. That they couldn't move. They had them on a wheelchair. And after some treatments, because that man came in several times, I don't remember where he's from or what happened to him, because hey, there were so many people coming in that you couldn't keep up with. And he said, I saw him dancing. I saw him dancing polkas. Because we used to have a little, my father would, get them all together and have a little something in there, sandwiches and lemonade or what have you, what is available then? Hello, Rosie.
Millionaire.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
You're talking about me, eh?
Yeah.
How you doing?
All right. How's Anna?
She's doing fine.
Got Frankie? Work. Good morning, Frankie.
She's working too. Yeah.
That's good, you?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good luck. What was in that?
He was dancing.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, I saw him dancing several, and when once he got moving, boy, I tell you, he was dancing good. And but I don't know what happened to him. I know I saw him walk. He couldn't walk. They had him in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. He couldn't walk. And his wife would bring him in. I think his wife was a teacher, and she would bring him in. And I saw a lot of people from Italians, from Boston, from New York.
Well, how did she get started? I mean, her reputation just kept growing.
But just by word of mouth.
What was the first thing that she did that started? What was the... She must have had a big...
Well, the
big
paper theory. Started complaining about her, about saying that quack and this and that. Uh-huh. And so that's when they had these doctors come in. Once they started checking, they couldn't find anything. So I guess word of mouth, and then... newspapers, going out that this lady could cure mm-hmm. or do perform thing. I saw something like that in Japan, I think, not too long ago, where the person would use it. They claimed the fingernail, mm-hmm. but she would scratch it too, mm-hmm. and you could see two, three little holes mm-hmm. where she. But she would take a pair of scissors in there, mm-hmm. and olive oil, and then if you had to have Vicks or. Mm-hmm. Olive oil. She always used the alcohol, mm-hmm. and she never used gloves. Mm-hmm. She just used her hands, but she'd wash her hands so good after every patient. And she treated a lot of patients with cancer and stuff like that. So I don't know what gifts or what, she performed a lot of.
Did she start a healing in? Kingsville or Roma?
I think she started in Laredo or King. I don't remember.
Laredo or.
But I know she was in Kings before, mm-hmm. and then my father set her this place because she didn't want all those people in there. She couldn't rest because mm-hmm. people would, was always there. Mm-hmm. So they finally set it up this place here where this house still stands. Mm-hmm.
How did she come to Kingsville? She lived in the area and went to...
Well, she got married to a Lane.
Mr. Lane.
Mr. Lane, he was part Jew. And she had a son, Weldon Lane. I think he passed away not too long ago, too. So,
where was he living?
In Corpus. But after she passed away, I only saw him after one of those aunts that passed away. He came to the funeral. That's the last time I saw him.
Well, he had a son, didn't he?
No, I know.
I think he was adopted. No,
was he?
Kid or,
I never met him.
He married twice. When, I
think he yes, married he twice. Married twice.
And one of them had a kid, I think.
Did he have a...
He had a kid already. The lady had a kid.
Oh, okay. Already,
Rudy Galeron, the high school principal in Gainesville, was saying that he thought his niece was married to Weldon.
To Weldon?
Son.
He married his next door neighbor in Kingsville.
It
across the street. She used to
He did have a kid later with her because
he was too old to have children by then, I think.
You never know, man. Never gonna get that old woman.
That's right. Look at strong.
She was young. She was young, but he was. I think he was too old to have children.
Well, anyway, there was. I know there was a kid or somebody, but I don't know whether it was his or after or what. Anyway, I what I can say about Mother Lane, it was something, you know, that you probably would read in storybooks or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You would probably wouldn't believe it. And in fact, most people, if I hear them hear me talking, they think it's crazy.
What? Why did she go from Bishop to Corpus Christi?
Well,
that's when she and my mother had a spat.
Oh, yes. Okay.
My
concerning
father.
One of those aunts that was living with her, she got mad at her and she left the house. And she came to live with us. And when she found out that Mother was letting her stay with us, she got mad at Mother.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the spat, they made up, and they saw each other just like sisters again. Well, they considered themselves sisters, even though they were only cousins.
Mm-hmm.
But they looked at each other as if they were sisters. Mother would go over there. I remember many times I took Mother to Corpus to visit with her.
But she didn't practice, or did she practice in Corpus?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
She continued in Corpus.
Until she finally, she told my mother when she was 70-some-odd years old, she told my mother, she said, look, she says, I'm losing my power. She says, I cannot perform like I could before.
She was losing her power.
And she says, I'm quitting. She says, I'm not helping people. She says, of course, I'll be here till God tells me to. But that was her. Like I said, she was not much of a churchgoer because I didn't see her. Of course, at the time there was no church here.
Mm-hmm.
But she bought some property around Beaufort Street or something.
Buffalo,
and then they built this new highway and they bought her out. She had to sell out her property before they built the expressway.
She passed away, I think, before they built the.
Right.
They were on the process.
Weldon got the money for that.
They were on the process of buying her property when they were coming in with that expressway, Interstate 37, I think.
Yeah.
Interstate 37 crosses her. It's on top of her property.
Oh, jeez. Well, now her house in Kingsville is still standing, though, isn't it?
Yes.
Is that right there by where MacArthur used to be?
No.
The theater?
It's fairly close. It's
that,
on...
That was one. She was in another place on Henrietta Street.
On Henrietta. We used to call that the El Barrio de las Ranas, because when it used to rain, there's a lot of frogs in there.
Water. It was a low spot.
We used to call that El Barrio de las Ranas.
It would flood. I don't remember. It's Henrietta, and I don't remember.
It was in the street corner.
Yeah.
I know the house when I see it, but I don't remember the address.
She was about four blocks away from where we were in Yoakum.
As a matter of fact, I think the house that's across the street from her house It's got metal bars. Mm-hmm. It's got a little balcony, and that balcony is covered with metal bars, burglar bars, I guess. Mm-hmm. It looks like a cage. And I think that's the house that's across the street from where Mother Lane used to live in.
Yeah. She lived not too far away from the courthouse.
No.
Yeah.
That was her second place. Her first place was up there by the Capitol Copper, the yellow house. And her other house still standing, I know, because I passed through there or something like that.
Did she treat any really famous people?
Well, there was a lot of people with plenty of money that came through.
Yeah. Mother would have been able to answer that question.
My mama would have knew most of them. Uh-huh. And they were. There was a lot of people that came through. Yeah.
Bersons, at that time, we were too young to remember.
Bersons was a big car dealer out of the Neverland.
The one
He used to come by.
And then she would go traveling around to visit her patients?
No.
Well,
she would go out.
Who was this then?
Somebody that would, in other words, if they invited her, she might go.
I remember she used to. Who was that?
She was a lady from San Antonio, I think, or Laredo. She was well played. She's a Latin lady. Mm-hmm. They had the money.
Yeah.
I think it was San Antonio. I'm not sure.
But I remember she used to, when she'd go out, she'd stay at some of the patients' homes.
Well, she would stay, but not to go treat.
Oh, no, no.
No, but she did. She traveled around.
When she did get a chance to go, because she tried to rest the 2 weeks that she was on.
I tried to get a hold of Chole Galan. Remember, she was her helper, and I couldn't remember. She must have passed away, because I tried to call some Galans. Pedro Galan was her brother, and I found a telephone number in there, and evidently they must have changed the number, because when I called there, it was a different person.
She was the one that... Her trustee. She did the one.
She was her driver, her everything for her.
Everything she needed, she
was there with her.
She was real faithful to her.
Her husband, what happened to her husband?
He would come and go. In other words, he didn't believe in what she was doing. And I think, because to me, his name was Lane, last name was Lane. Of course, Weldon was her son, mm-hmm. and that's the only son that they had. Mm-hmm. And he never would stay there. He would come by and visit, but he would stay at a different house. He had another house. She had another house behind her regular house. Mm-hmm. He would stay there, but they wouldn't live together there.
Hello?
To have you here and have your brother here at the same time, that's a...
Well, I knew he was coming, but I didn't know what date he was coming.
And
you timed it perfect when you said you'd come on this date, because he came in yesterday.
Oh,
and see, he's able to remember more than I can, because I was much younger.
How much older are you?
About 1.5, two years
old.
2 years old.
Okay, to me, it was something that, I don't know, it just, to me, it's amazing, because she did have powers, she had that gift to God to, you know, take care of people. And like I said, she wouldn't charge. She would put a little box, you know, those cigar box, King Edward cigars she used to have, that little cat. She would place it up there in the entrance where the people were already coming in, because people that got undressed, the women would stay on one side and men here.
They had two different dressing rooms.
Right. And they would come in with so-and-so, who was next. She had two colored ladies helping her all the time. Mm-hmm. And one would take in the patient, and the other one would help her, you know, putting her sheets on and off. And they to me, it was just something amazing, because I didn't see any people really say that they, you know, there was a lot of people that were really sick. And then some of them could walk, and some of them could, you know, leave okay, and others, you'd say, you rest an hour or so, and you can do whatever you want.
Were there some she couldn't help? There was some
yes. She would tell them to. She would tell us, we would look back. I can just do this, mm-hmm. and then that's as far as I can go, but, you know, I'm not checking with you. So, like I say, she could sit down on one side of the table, my mother sit on the other side, and they would cut one of those black diamond watermelons in half. She would sit on one side, she would sit on the other, and they would chew on that until they just about. You know, that time they weren't that big here, but they would eat watermelon and just talk like everything. Then she'd go back, and that was her meal, no food. And she was standing there all day. Let's say, if she came in at 8 o'clock, she'd be there from 8 to sometimes at night. And then sometimes
the curing would go on all day.
For the 15 or 20 days that she would take care of. I think it's around 15 days.
15 days.
Mm-hmm. Then after that, of course, she just rested. But I was standing up. All that, she wouldn't sit down. She'd stand up.
She had a troller. You know, one of them big music.
Nickelodeon.
Uh-huh. And she'd have music all the time she was.
What kind of music would she play?
The popular music at the time. I remember Roll, Roll the Barrel was one of them. And
that was the one that, this one was electric.
It was a coin operated, yeah. But she had it rigged to be playing all the time.
Well, a lot of the times I went in there, she wouldn't have it. I guess it finally broke or something. But
I remember that music going on in there.
And
she had records. She'd buy her favorite records and put them in there.
But they were paper records.
But later on, she had the regular jukebox. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. There was a piano, one that had the rolls.
Uh-huh.
Daddy had that at the store.
That's right.
At the store. But she would use a radio a lot of times. She would hear
music. Well, I remember the one you put the coins on.
It was happy music, though, huh?
Yes.
I
remember that very well.
Well, now the Klan, Ku Klux Klan, was active here in Bishop. They didn't bother her, did they? Because there was lots of discrimination.
Well, there was a Ku Klux Klan, yes, but I think they were kind of afraid of her. Most of them were scary pants. Because my father had to get together organized a group, and they called it a Norifica. And that's due to the fact that the Klan was getting out of hand. And since all the people that the deputy and everybody was, you know, just they were against Mexican people and blacks, and then some of the Anglos that associate with it, they would put them in molasses and feathers and whip them. And right in here, right behind, there's the studs there where
the old jailhouse.
Jailhouse was burned, and they burned the colored paper.
Next up our lot, right here.
And
it used to be a jailhouse, mm-hmm. and a colored man was burned. As a matter of fact, that's even in the city minutes mm-hmm. when they were having some lawyer writing. I saw some letters. Mm-hmm. Old letters when they wrote, they were inquiring about that.
I heard about it. Mm-hmm. But they told me that they burned him right here. It was in it. And they had been had a dance up there on the north side of town. And during the dance, they come up and poured him 5 gallons of gasoline. They even left the can there. Set it on fire inside the jail. They couldn't get in. That's because he had come in from Kingsville someplace, mm-hmm. and his car broke down,
And he called this, he tried to get this lady to stop, and he was an angry lady, and she went yelling and saying that somebody's trying to wreck her and what have you. And they came in, captured him, they asked no question, they put him in jail next time. He's gone.
But she wasn't bothered by the
plane. The plane didn't bother her, though.
No.
Or the lane.
Not that I can remember. Yeah.
But now they try to mess with my father, but like I say, he formed he organized a malefica here, and he says anybody that got hurt, it's going to be twice of them going to be hurt. I mean, no telling who. So that, you know, that kind of stopped. They moved towards Kingsville. I think they got real strong in Kingsville later. But Bishop had them here.
My father moved here to Bishop in 1905, mm-hmm. and he built his first general store in 1911. Mm-hmm. Here in Bishop, and he had another store in San Juan, okay. another grocery store. My uncle was taking care of that store over there. And then when Chapman Ranch was clearing the land, mm-hmm. he built a commissary over there. It was a tent, okay. and then they burned it. Somebody burned it up for him.
And when he was going to build here, he bought this property here first. But they told him if he built here, they'd burn it. They let him finish it, and then they burned it.
So he never did build. We kept that old grocery store over there until 1949 early 1950 is when we built this building.
Mm-hmm. You see, old Mexican Greece is about a mile away from the railroad. That's our name, man. I don't know what they call me now.
Yeah, but I was hearing that everybody liked Mother Lane to be here in Bishop because she brought so much business.
It brought a lot of business.
And yes. Maybe that's probably the reason they didn't bother her.
But it brought in a lot of business, brought in a lot of people.
All the hotels were for mm-hmm. yeah. everybody buying the grocery, things that she needed, the olive oil and the
business. A lot of people stayed over here because we had a little cabin, just one little cabin for a couple, and that was it.
Well, over there at our grocery store, we had my mother. Had a lot of herbs too mm-hmm. from Don Pedrito Jaramillo because a lot of people here in those days they went by the herbs and home remedies and things of this nature.
They still do.
And Mother was making a booming business over there with that, and Mother Lane being there, mm-hmm. and that grocery store was a lot of people bought their groceries in there too. So it brought business to a lot of downtown.
And then during the war, you see, a lot of the Anglo people couldn't get the stuff, and they would help my mother a lot because she was a widow. Mm-hmm. And the wholesalers would help her a lot with sugar and canned stuff and stuff like that they couldn't get anywhere else. And a lot of the Anglo people that were used to eating canned fruit and couldn't get it, they would go to her. And I'll tell you, she got the roads. She got the commissioners finally. That every 2 years, the commissioner would come in to, you know, vote for me. And said, "Well, get this road to Caliche first." and that's one way how we got part of Westside, Caliche and Blacktop. I mean, maybe not too wide, Blacktop, but not too wide, but enough to at least. It was a madhouse when it was rain here. I remember it used to be Fairmaid, and now it's Rainbow Bread, Butter Cross, and they would have to go all the way up there, and the Orange Crush people, the soda pop.
Yeah, I even remember the old man.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they used to, pull the trails in there until they're getting stuck, and people getting them out, you know, and it was something. I remember here they wouldn't let me get into the stores from outside. I said we couldn't get any fruit over here because, you know, it'd rot on, spoiled on. People couldn't afford to buy it either. And so I would come to town. From the outside, I had to point what I wanted because they didn't want Mexican greasers in there. We were too darn messed up with lies and we'd steal everything. So, that was part of the thing we grew up with.
We both were born and raised in Tucson. Went to different schools, never met until we went to college. Because, of course, he went to the Anglo school and I went to the Mexican school.
Yeah.
It's not that long.
Yeah.
And all over.
And, I've seen this in Mexico, separating ethnic groups, do you see? And it's everywhere, but...
It's changing.
Yeah, it is. Yes. It is, little by little. And you can't hold a grudge against anybody because, hey, you can kill yourself by holding grudge.
Right.
So, best thing is hope for the best.
That's right. And I know. It's changing for our
husband, where his name was Lane. Part Jewish?
Yeah.
Now, what was his occupation? What did he do?
I don't know.
I never saw him work. I just saw him at around the house.
Whenever he came around, to me, he was a loafer.
Uh-huh.
But a freeloader.
I see.
But what I remember was, like I said, I was just a kid.
Because I went through the records in the phone book in Kingsville, and I went to the tax records. I can find her, and I can find Weldon. I can't find the husband.
No,
but all of a sudden, Corpus Christi, in the city directory, like maybe the last year of her life.
There he was.
His husband's there. Well, he hadn't been there for a while.
What was his name?
I can't remember.
Well, we got in the notes. But yeah, her husband didn't show up.
He kind of like disappears.
And he owned property, too, didn't he? Didn't we find some record of him owning property?
I think he owned property someplace up north. But where he got it, or maybe his skin folks inherited it or something.
Do you have any idea where he was from?
Sometimes I would hear he was in New York. So, you know, there's a lot of Jewish people in New York, so he could have been out of.
Do you know how he met her?
Well, don't we?
My mother probably would have known.
Mother would have known the whole story.
She know.
Yes, women know.
So, the First National Bank of Kingsville bought out the Craven Bank. The bank continued to grow up. It was a few years after that this company, Roberts & Roberts, they enlarged the bank from its... The original, if you look at the bank now, it occupies the entire lot, 50 feet by 140. The original building was only 50 by 100. And Roberts & Roberts were brought in to expand the bank. They ran out all the tenants because the original bank did not occupy the entire building. It's just part of the first floor. I mean, the rest of the space would be a drugstore or a jewelry store or something like that. The upper floors were held dentist offices, doctor's offices, and the ranch headquarters, the Kingsville King Ranch headquarters. With the expansion, the King Ranch took over a great deal more of the upper floor. A lot of walls were knocked out, things were rearranged. The front door on the corner was walled up, and the plaster and the tins and all the things that go with an old building were taken out, and it was modernized. In 1968, the bank directors had already decided that they were going to have to move out of the building. They needed more space, and the lot was full. They made the city an offer. For $150,000, they sell the bank to the city. That deal didn't wash. Early in 69, though, the bank made a new offer, and apparently the city had time to make up the new budget, because the new deal was $125,000 plus the old vice house. The bank made the offer, the city accepted it, I think, the next week. The deed was transferred in 1969. The city took possession of the building, took ownership of the building, but the bank did not move out until 1971, at which time the city moved in. The deed circulated the tax office was a real problem because the bank is now, that building is now state park, is city property, so there are no income or no property tax records on it. Now it's a real dollar property, but it's not there. But the city has moved in and they've taken over. What else do you want?
What else do you want to tell us?
Not much else has happened. That question you asked, what have I learned? I need to on the phone when I called Cuminato. I wasn't the one, I don't know what happened. about this person who would be arrested, it wouldn't be. there's a person named Milton Cuminato who used to work for the bank for almost 40 years, a little more than 40 years. I talked to him the first time I called her up. I introduced who I was. Well, I was the, who was behind this, AI, that sort of thing, set up a meeting. When I got to the meeting, the first thing she said was that she was waiting that when I called her, she was listening, waiting for me to sell her something, try to sell her something, so she could tell me no and say, oh, yeah. So I'm lucky. I apparently made it clear enough, fast enough to get the interview. I talked to her a couple of times. Unfortunately, I did not put dates on those things, which he wants.
Yeah.
I put, February, March. But if I put a date on it, the odds are I'll be lying.
So who's going to check it? If he was a scumbag?
Shit.
Why don't you call her and ask her? Maybe she wrote that on the calendar or something. I always do.
I was trying to call her a couple of times. Try to check out some facts, but every time I call her, there's nothing there. So.
But you had a problem with nobody else in your family. You had too much material. How did you manage to decide what part of it you were going to use?
I was trying to figure out what to write in this paper. I thought it was just to describe the building for a historical commission or something. No, it's not that. And it made me say, okay, try it. Tour guide. So I rewrote everything for come to town, here's the building, here's a couple of things about the history of the veterans, and all that's not good enough. Because it's a historical commission. Now I'm going to go back and try to put in some kind of detailed historical information, give me some kind of date so that this place in Austin, wherever, this Texas Historical Commission, will certify that in addition to being readable enough for somebody to come in and without any particular care of what the importance of that building, read something and find out how it's in the tour of Kingsville. So that was difficult.
Didn't the
example
give you help? Gave you help
in
any way? Gave you two examples?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't tell you
what it was going on. Well, because they were not histories, they were not building descriptions, or they were not the about the structures. And the way I understood the first instructions given to us about the structure, and not and none of this business about people or events or things like that happening. I think we all figured out, well, we gotta put that in.
After handing out the examples, we figured that out. But the first assignment I thought was to take the building back as far as you could get it.
And to just track the existence of that building.
The copy of how far back I went, the price was on the back of the sheet, and so there's only about half of it on here.
But I was keeping in mind the idea of that Brownsville book, a short 2 or 3 page thing, something that a person might read, might actually make it to the end if they're walking through Kingsville or driving through Kingsville. Because any longer those happen, people are the other day, so what? And that was, I think the hardest thing though, was trying to talk to people and knowing what to ask.
We want to ask.
Yeah, that was very difficult. I was trying to make contact with Dr. Manning, the mayor at the time, in 1971, when the city took over. He's off on a wavelength and trying to make contact with. First of all, just trying to make physical contact, get him on the phone is one problem, but then trying to get the kind of information out of him that is useful is very difficult as well.
Well, what advice would you give to future historians who wanted to do research like this?
I think this business about carrying on a tape recording might be a good idea. But if you do so, carry lots of tapes. See, the interviews that I did, I didn't sit down with somebody. Like Cuminato and I walked through the bank, and she was pointing out this and that and the other things. And so I didn't have paper for it. I was just scribbling some notes down as we went. But maybe if a formal sit down might be best. But to keep it is, you're not going to get any dates out of it. It's almost, I don't think it's like my grandma trying to get information out of my grandma about her early life. And okay, I'm writing it down later. And it's, well, there is a blank. When was it? Man, I gotta go back and ask her about something and this and that. And it's very difficult coming up with particular information. The same thing with Kumamoto. She's got notes and she has that book. But her memory is, I can't cue in on particular things.
Yeah,
I guess it kills us all.
I think that is what
Yeah. Okay, my phone was over the Apple iPhone itself. Well, right now it's a dance hall. It's located on the northeast corner of 12th Street and Alice Valley, and it's called St. Joseph's Juanista Dance Hall. It's used for like weddings and stuff now. But back in 1938, a man by the name Thomas Jefferson stopped Jackson and his refugees Jackson, they bought that land, right? And, let me get the tree. Okay, you see, back then, they arrived in the Kingsville area in 1937, and they were...
Michelle?
Okay, and they got to the Kingsville area in 1937, and Mr. Jackson was, well, I read in the part where he found out that most of the Hispanics that lived here around the area, they didn't get pretty much more entertainment. And plus, there was only one theater in Kingsville, in the downtown Kingsville area, where they wouldn't let Hispanics in, the prejudice and all that stuff going on. So he called up one of his friends called Tom Mix from North Texas, and he told him to send them a couple of tents, like circus tents, so he can set up in the area and provide some form of baby movies and stuff.
Excuse me, is this Tom Mix the cowboy?